Okay, here we go. We are on Parsha Har B'chukotai. So it happens to be that in Emor, we really didn't have that much to talk about in Shalal. He has some interesting statements that we didn't really get to. There's some interesting stuff in Emor, but Har B'chukotai really has some very cool stuff. So he wants to talk about Shemitah. How does Shemitah work? So we see in the beginning of the Parsha, it says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'Har Sinai l'Emor. God says to Moshe at Har Sinai the following. This is Chaf Hei Bet now. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, tell b'nei Yisrael the following. Ki tavo el ha'aretz asher ani noten lachem. When you go to the land that I will give to you, v'shavta ha'aretz shabbat l'Hashem, you should let the land stay fallow as a shabbat to God. And what do you do? 6 years you should work. Sheish shanim tizra sadecha. You should work your land or plow your land for 7 years, 6 years. Sheish shanim tizmor karmecha. And you can do all sorts of pruning for your vineyards. V'asafta tefuata. And you can collect your grain. But then, dalit. U'b'shana ha'shviyit shabbat shabbaton yiyeh la'aretz. In the seventh year, that should be a shabbat shabbaton. You remember last week, we talked about how it says mimacharat Shabbat, you should start counting, right? Sfirat Omer mimacharat Shabbat. So one of the proofs that Shabbat does not refer to Saturday, the seventh day of the week, is because sometimes we call years Shabbats, right? And we call Yom Kippur Shabbat Shabbaton as well. Okay, so Shadal has a fascinating comment here about the significance and how everything really ties together between Shabbat itself, Shemitah, Yovel, and all the holidays are actually all intertwined with each other. Very fascinating. Let's see what he says. What is the symbolism? What's the connection between Shemitah and Shabbat? So the obvious one is just the numbers, right? 6 days you work, seventh day you rest. 6 years you work, seventh year you rest. So here he says like this. Mitzvot Shenata Shemitah Domel Mitzvot HaShabbat. The mitzvah of Shabbat. The mitzvah of Shemitah is parallel to the mitzvah of Shabbos. Ki kemosh mitzvah Shabbat he chazik b'lev ha'am emunata yotam goy kadosh. So he says, what's the point of Shabbos? What's the point of Shabbos? He provides a reason that I would not have provided for Shabbos. I would think it has to do with like chidush ha'olam, creation of the world. He says, no. It's in order to strengthen the idea in our hearts that we are a holy people. The belief in our holiness. How does that do that? I guess it's a day of rest where you're devoted to holiness. You're a holy people. So that's the same thing with Shemitah. It's not to demonstrate that you're a holy people, but rather to strengthen the belief in the holiness of land, that the land itself is holy. And we're going to explain why that's important in a second. Says, in the same way that God rested on the seventh day, so too, you're supposed to let it lay fallow for a year. What exactly that connection is not exactly so clear. It doesn't exactly go parallel, but Vayin Divrei Don Yitzchak B'Nachlat Avod Perkei Mishnat Galut Ba'ol Olam Kinamo. He should read Avraham Arminel in his commentary to Avot in the fifth parak, because it is pleasant. Okay, fine. You can see what he has to say there in this connection. Think about this. In the desert, Haya Hashem noten lahem b'yom hashishi lechem yomayim. Think about this. When they were in the desert for over 39 years or so, when they would receive the man, what would happen for Shabbos? They would receive a double portion on the sixth day, and they were told, don't go out on Shabbos and collect. So they get a double portion on the sixth day. Same thing happens in Shemitah. We're promised to get, in the sixth year, you're going to get double the yield that you would normally get so that you'll be able to last through the seventh day. So parallel to the man was an educational experience. Rely on God in the sixth day so that you'll be able to eat in the seventh. So too, when you go into the land, you're commanded, right? At Birchato B'Shnat HaShishit, you're being told there's going to be lots of plenty in the sixth year. That will be able to cover Shemitah. Amazing. Cool parallel. And in Shabbos, we have lots of references to the man, but it's definitely that 6 days you collect the man on the seventh day. On the sixth day, you'll get a double portion that will cover the seventh. Same thing with Shemitah. Very cool. He says, what's the idea? Why did I say that Shemitah is in order to encourage and in order to strengthen in our hearts a belief in the holiness of the land? Because if you believe that the land itself is holy, then you're going to be like, how can I do bad things on this land? How can I murder? How could I do a riot? How can I do idolatry in this land? The land itself is holy. He believes that that is a way of encouraging people from staying away from bad stuff. Very fascinating. And also you should keep in mind the fact that you are letting the land stay fallow has an effect actually on other people. He says, if you're letting the field lay fallow, that means that your animals that are normally working very hard every day to work your field, and your slaves, if you own slaves, that are working really hard to cultivate this field or plant this field, they're going to also rest because you're not working the field at all. Now, you might have them do other work, right? You might have them do something that is not related to field work, but at the very least, they're getting more rest than they normally would, or you're just letting them go for the seventh year, which is really nice. And if you think about it, that's exactly what you're doing on Shabbos. Shabbos explicitly in the Torah says to you, don't work your animals, don't work your slaves. So in the seventh year, although there's no prohibition per se, you have to admit, I guess Shaddai would have to say this also, there's no specific commandment to not work your animals or your slaves. You're at least not doing it in the field, which gives them a little bit of rest. And think about this amazing social economic good. If you're leaving your field fallow and you're not working it, so what you're doing is any fruit that grows there, any wheat that grows there, whatever it is, will actually go towards the poor. It's all hefker. So the poor get an amazing amount of food. And if you're the rich guy who owns the fields, so you're quote-unquote losing money maybe, but at the very least, it's a year in which the poor person gains money, and it's not like that is being taken away from the economic good of the nation. There is an equality that happens. He says this makes equal the rich person and the poor person. It makes the rich person less haughty. We talked about this when it came to the Ayin Hara, that there is an effect in the world that Shaddai believes exists, not called the Ayin Hara, but rather Hashgacha Pratit, that makes sure that whenever rich people become too proud, they get knocked down a peg. So he says that's what Shemitah is supposed to do. Knock you down a peg. For a year, you can't make any money in your field. He says this is to remind the rich person that poor people have rights and have an equality to them. And all men are created equal, says Shaddai. And poor people and rich people alike. What about the remittance of loans? That's an amazing equalizer as well. That's good for the poor, obviously. That's mercy unto the poor. So, think about it like this. Just like the Jewish people are given a certain amount of holidays, and they also rest on Shabbos, so they rest on holidays and they rest on Shabbos, and they celebrate with God. Kachad man hakodesh milvad shnata shmita nitan la shnata yovel. So besides for, there's something for the land and the holiness of the land, in that not only does it get every 7 years, it gets a rest year, but so too there's a yovel year that occurs. That's also a holiday for the land, so to speak. The Yovel. Vayovel mashveh ashir lani, and the Yovel is another equalizer for the rich person to the poor person. Kimosha Shmita Kamo Shabbat. Just like Shemitah is, and just like Shabbat is. So how is it an equalizer, Yovel? Because there's certain laws for Yovel. Yovel is every 50 years, right? So number one, you're not working the land. That's like Shemitah, okay? Mitzad hefker atvot. And number two, like Shemitah, there's all the stuff is hefker that grows in the field. So the poor people can take them, and the rich people are not going to. But in addition to that, ancestral homelands go back to their original owners. And all slaves go free. All Jewish slaves can't stay longer than this point. And this is a great mercy on the poor, right? A lot of people sold themselves into slavery to be able to support themselves, and now they're able to go free. And this is an amazing thing to endorse the idea and emphasize the idea of equality among men. So let me just note here for a second. You might remember all the way back when in Parshat Mishpatim, we talked about the slave, and it says that he has to stay a slave le'olam, forever. So Shadal says something fascinating there. He says, Chazal understands forever as meaning until the year of Shemitah. I'm sorry, the year of Yovel. So if a guy says, the maximum a Jewish slave is supposed to be a slave is for 6 years. However, if he says, I like where I am, I want to stay, literally the Torah says, Le'olam, forever. But the rabbis understood it as maximum Yovel. So how is that? How did that happen? How did the rabbis turn around and say that Le'olam means Yovel? So he says, you remember we had this problem? Oh, yeah. Originally, when God gave this command in Shemot, in Mishpatim, God gave a law that said that when a slave says they want to stay a slave forever, they want to stay a slave by their master, they stay. That means forever. They can never go free. But later, in now, here, in Bahar, we find out that Yovel exists, right? And that means that La'olam, that originally meant La'olam forever, now means till Yovel. The Torah itself changed its law. Very strange. So we tried to answer what that meant then. And I asked the question. And amazingly, probably the only time that anybody's ever commented on Y.E. Torah, Dan Klein, the translator of and the expert of Shadal, answered the question. And he thought, well, you know, the Torah has a development of the halacha similar to what happens with Benot Slavcha. Benot Slavcha are daughters, only daughters to a man, and they didn't want their ancestral plot of land that would happen in Eretz Yisrael to be lost to them. So they said, you know, what's the law here? There's no sons to our father. It's just us, the Benot Slavcha. We want to have the land. And so Moshe says, I don't know. Let me ask God. Goes and asks God. And God says, give them the land. New law is created right then and there. So Dan Klein suggested that's what's happening here. Okay, it said Olam before. That meant forever until the Torah came along and gave Yovel, which now means that slaves can go free in Yovel. Right? And doesn't mean forever. So I responded. I said, okay, I understand when you're creating a new law. It doesn't say anything about daughters. So now we have to create a new law. But here, the Torah came, like, how do you do this historically? Within the same year of the Torah giving a law having to do with slaves, that they have to, that they can stay a slave forever. Now the Torah, one book later, in the Torah itself, redefines Le'olam as meaning till Yovel. It's a very strange thing to happen. And he didn't really have a solution for that, I think. He just thought as the development that happens, this is how the Torah works. And I was trying to figure out what would be the mechanism, what would be the point of doing that. Why didn't the Torah, or when Moshe writes out all five books, if Le'olam no longer means forever, so it could say Ad HaYovel. That's what it could have said in the Torah. And nobody would bat an eyelash. Could have said it like that. I also pointed out to him that if you look in Dvarim, when it's repeating the concept of slaves, it says that the slave, if he says that he wants to stay a slave, it stays a slave Le'olam. That's in Dvarim. That's later on. That's at the end of Moshe's life. Why would it repeat Le'olam, according to Shadal, if it had just changed the law in Leviticus, two books prior to that? How does this make any sense? So he responded, I said, there's no comment in Dvarim for Shadal to like even reinterpret that. So he says, that's why you need the Italian translation. Because the Italian translation of the Torah that Shadal did, he actually reinterprets the pasuk. When it says Le'olam, he says, until Yovel. That's how he interprets that pasuk. So he's consistent, at least in his translation, all the way through, but I still don't understand why. But anyway, he says here that Yovel is the great equalizer, the economic equalizer that emphasizes the idea of equality of man. So realize that Yovel is after seven Shemitahs, right? Every Shemitah is every 7 years. How many years is it after seven Shemitah cycles? How many years is that? 7 times 7 is 49. Yovel is the 50th year, right? Or it's actually, I think, a machloket in the Gemara. Since every 7 years, every 7 cycles is Yovel, there's a parallel there. Why is that? What does that mean? Kena moedim heim echad mishiva b'mizvah shvatot hashana. How many Shabbases are there in a year? Solar, 52, right?
52
solar.
That's what I was
lunar, saying. It's 48 or 49.
Okay.
So he says, if you think about it, there's 49 Shabbases. That means there's like a 7 by 7 holidays as the Shemitahs of the year. They're the Shemitahs of the year. 7 holidays. How do I arrive at 7 holidays? Ki Shabbatot HaShana Heim Yoter Me'arba'im Shabbatesha. There's at least 49 weeks in a year, so it's 49 Shabbases. Achlo yagil is shesh v'chamishim, but there's not any more than 56. There's less. There's a remainder of 49 plus something, right? There's 7 times 7 with a remainder. There'll be around 52, let's say. It'll never be 7 times 8. It'll never be 56 weeks in a year. So he says, that's 7 by 7. So mikrai kodesh him shiva yamim. There's actually 7 holy days besides for Shabbos. What are they? Let's count out the holidays. Tell me the holidays.
Rosh Hashanah
is 1. Yom Kippur, that's 2. Sukkot, that's 2, right? First day and last day are the holy days of Sukkot. There's Chol Hamoed, that's in between, but there's one, well, the first day and the last day. Also known as Shemini Atzeres, the last day. So far we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, then 2 days of Sukkot, or Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. Then you have what? So the first day and the last day, that's a number 2. We're already at 6. And then what's the last one? Shavuot. How many is that? There are 7 days. So if you think about it, they are the Shemitahs of the year cycle, they're the Yovel. Yeah, they are the Shemitahs of the year cycle. Very cool. Vayim Yom Rishon Shvi Shal Pesach. He goes through these all. Yom Echad Shal Shavuos, Echad Shal Rosh Hashanah, Echad Shal Yom Kippur, Rishon Shal Sukkos, Shemini Chag Atzeres, Har Yishiva Yamim. Very interesting parallel. Everything's connected. Holidays, Shabbos, Shemitah, Yovel, the equality of poor people and rich people, telling rich people don't be so proud of your richness, and telling the poor that they have a rights. Very, very fascinating stuff, and it's very important to Shadal the social and economic statements that the Torah is saying. Yeah.